Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to Saints History, told and experienced the way God intended it, with excessive amounts of alcohol and cursing. The booze is probably bourbon because...
Other alcohols are for rich women on diets.
Now, here's your drunk Saints History host, who is...
bombed out of his gourd.
All right, welcome to a belated edition of Drunk Saints History. I'm your host, Ralph Marlboro. Listen, we do a thing here. We started it last year. We told people that if you donated $25 for the entire football season, which was 4 months, you would get in a raffle, and then we would do Drunk History with you. Or if you just want to donate for 8 months at $25, you don't even have to be in the raffle. You just go. And the problem was getting it logistically set up with all the wonderful patrons that committed to it and finding days that work for them has become more challenging than we imagined. But this is the first one, and it's Jim Grimsley. He's a super fan, and we're going to talk about some stuff. But Jim, what possessed you to say, I want to be on Drunk History. I'm going to donate $25 a month, which we love. But what possessed you to be like, yeah, I want to be on Drunk History with Ralph?
Well, I think, Ralph, it was the fact that you begged so much for more money. And I figured if I gave you some money, you would quit begging. That ultimately became reason.
It's true. Yeah. For anybody. Well, before we get to what you're drinking, I will say, besides having just a, we do the podcast for fun and listen. Me and Andrew, we would do it, and Dave, we and Kevin, some of the time when he's on it, we would do it for free. But my thing is, my wife is a wedding planner, and she is fantastic at it. She does a great job. But we've had a child, and she has to take some of the crummiest, hardest weddings to do. And I was like, you know what? I want to get my podcast to a reasonable amount of money so I can just give it to you and you don't have to do these crummy, hard weddings all the time, and it'll make your life easier. And when your life is easier, my life is easier. So people, that is my goal for this podcast. I just need to raise enough money so my wife can do one less difficult wedding a month and make my life easier. So that's it. But Jim, I am drinking Bud Light tonight. I have gone cheap and easy tonight, and they're going down smooth as I was watching the Bucks and Celtics and getting ready for this podcast. What are you drinking tonight?
I am drinking 2010 Pine Ridge Cabernet.
Oh, my God. Good, it's classy.
Good red wine.
And Jim, he gave me a fantastic idea. Jim, tell the people your idea to help the podcast get more patrons. That you pitched to me before we started recording.
Well, I think the idea of a koozie is a great idea. I love it. I'm waiting for mine to come in the mail. But
ships this week, by the way.
I also said you probably have some patrons who drink wine, and a Saints Happy Hour wine glass would be a great addition to the portfolio.
Well, I'm going to tell you this about Andrew. Andrew, not only does Andrew hate IPAs, but I'm going to give people a little inside information. Andrew's wife is like a high-powered world-traveling executive, and she goes all over the world to train people and do stuff like far places like Pakistan and all over the world, right? And Andrew gets left with his kids, and he will text me on like a Friday or Saturday night. He's like, the kids are in bed, and I'm drinking wine. So that's Andrew. But so – our first topic that me and Jim are going to do, we're going to do two shows. You'll hear Jim on this one, and then we'll have a second with you. But the first one we're going to do, and this got me so excited. I said, Jim, you know, he was like, what topic should I do? What should we talk about? And I was like, look, here's the topics we're going to do. Let's pick a Saints player that they drafted that we thought was going to be amazing – and they ended up being a complete bust. So, Jim, tell the people the player that you picked, because it got me so excited and nerded out on draft history. Tell the people the name and what era of Saints football he's from.
Well, you know, before you can even get into the name of the person I ultimately picked, because it was hard to pick one. Because when I went back to
just pick one,
I mean, when I went back to the Saints draft choices, and I came across, you know, the obviously the Russell Erksleben in 79, Joe Campbell, you know, the ultimate defensive end in 77, Larry Burton, who was going to be the greatest wide receiver in NFL history in 75. But I tell you what, when I got to 1974 and I got to Rick Middleton, who was a linebacker for Ohio State, my head just exploded, because I remember when the Saints picked him, and they could have picked Randy Gradishar, who was a perennial Pro Bowler.
Borderline Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I think he made the Hall of Fame. And he is just an unbelievable linebacker. And he was an All-American for like 2 or 3 years. Middleton hardly made Big Ten. And the Saints drafted him. It was unbelievable. You know, it was classic New Orleans Saints drafting.
Well, here's the thing, though. This makes it even better. A detail that you left out, and I love this, because my first column I ever did for Channel 4, I did the top 10 biggest busts in Saints history, and Mike Dettillier was kind enough to sit with me when I was, God, it must be 15, 16 years ago now, where, you know, I was early 20s and I was a nobody, and he sat with me and explained to me all the draft failures of the Saints in the 70s. And he had Rick Middleton, I think, is like one of his all-time worst Saints draft busts. And here's the reason, man. You say that Randy Gradishar was a borderline Hall of Famer with Denver and a two-time All-American at Ohio State, and Rick Middleton played next to him, and the Saints whiffed on that pick, right? But teams do that all the time, right? Clemson is good. Like, Clemson, they had like 3-4 defensive linemen picked this year. Like, one of them is going to be a complete dud, right? And we're going to make jokes for the rest of the time. Be like, you had the pick of the four good defensive linemen for Clemson. Three of them ended up being really good. You picked the dud. How terrible could you be? But the funny thing about the Rick Middleton pick for the Saints, Jim, was the Saints picked Rick Middleton at 13, and the very next pick, Denver was like, you completely messed up, Saints. We're taking Randy Gradishar. Like, they went back to back, and it just encapsulates everything that was wrong with the Saints in the 70s, as I take a swig of my Bud Light.
And I have to tell you, the thing that still sticks with me, and this tells you what a diehard Saints fan I am, and maybe how I've been impacted by it. I still remember the Saints coaches saying, yeah, the only thing about Rick Middleton is he needs to gain upper body strength. And it's like, wait a second. You picked
him 13.
11th in the first round, and he needs upper body strength. And he was horrible. I don't know if he made a tackle the whole time he was with the Saints. He just got completely run over.
I mean, his Wikipedia, I'm going to read his entire Wikipedia. Is a Rick Ray Middleton is a former American football player who played linebacker in the National Football League from 1974 through 78. He attended Rutherford B. High School in Delaware, Ohio, and played college football at The Ohio State University. He is now a high school history, psychological, government teacher at Olentangy High. That's it. That's his entire Wikipedia page, man. He got picked 13th in the first round. The Saints traded him. He played at San Diego. Like, my God.
Did you say earlier he had – I didn't realize he had drug issues. I knew there was something.
Well, that was the Saints. They shipped a lot of people out in 75, 76. You know, he wasn't attached to it, but they kind of had to clear out their locker room. And they had to do it later with Muncy, obviously, and Muncy admitted to the issues he had. But I will tell you, man, you look at the at the 70, at the, you know, and this, and the thing is, the Saints, they traded back from 8 to 13, you know, they flipped with Detroit, I guess, in that draft. But I'm going to tell you, look at some of the players that the Saints could have had. Henry Lawrence ended up being a really good defensive tackle. Roger Carr for Baltimore ended up being really good. This is a guy, Keith Vanhorse. He was a tight end for San Francisco. But the 70, that draft wasn't that great. I mean, except the Steelers got, here's 45, 46, Dave Casper, Jack Lambert. You know, I mean, like the Saints were just so, look, like in the 70s, here's a story that Buddy D used to always tell. And I loved it every time he told it. And I think it's in the in the Who Dat history book, or with of Wayne Mack, of the Saints history up until the Saints history goes from 67 to about 90-91. If you can get it on Amazon, I highly recommend it. It's probably that and Jeff Duncan's book, Tales from the Saints Sideline. They're probably the two best Saints history books. Who Dat history is more chronological and has better stuff. But here's the story: Tom Fears. They had a draft board, and the Raiders picked a guy, I want to say, I forget who it was, in like 1969-70, and the Saints head scout, or Fred Williams, was like, he's not even on our board. Who the hell are they picking? And Fred, and the Saints coach Tom Fears turned to him and goes, if he ain't on our fucking board, maybe our fucking board is trash. And they almost got into a fight. Right, and that just summed up the Saints. Like in the 70s, they just like didn't know what they were doing, and like the Rick Middleton pick just like encapsulates. I mean, you could do so much of it in the 70s, but the Rick Middleton pick really sort of encapsulates the incompetence of it.
Well, you know, when I went through the list of draft choices from Ken Burroughs in 1970 to Larry Burton in 75. And then the killer was when I looked at the 1995 draft. We were still trying to find a wide receiver. We drafted Lindsey Scott, Eugene Goodloe, and Kenny Duckett. You know, and it's just
it's like
we had 25 years, and the only wide receiver we had that was any good during that time frame was actually Eric Martin, who ran like a 4.8 40, but he was the only guy that could catch the ball.
Yeah, I mean. The thing with the Saints that was just in the 70s was just, you know, they just didn't – not only did they not know what they were doing, but the thing that always boggles my mind, and I always come back to it, and it just – in 2019, I can't even – the mind can't even comprehend it. I couldn't comprehend it in the 90s when I – would read about Saints history. John Meekum, he bought the team with his dad's money, his dad's oil money in 1967. He got they gave him the expansion team. Yep. John Meekum was 26 years old. I mean, I couldn't even pay rent. Barely when I was 26. I can't imagine owning a football team. And you know, he wasn't like some fabulous up-and-coming entrepreneur that invented something great or had done something wild. His family had money. Like, for the NFL to just be like, yeah, give the 26-year-old kid the expansion team in New Orleans. Like I can't, like, my head, I would have wanted to be in that meeting when they decide that that's a good idea.
Well, yeah, and then, you know, it only took Meekum 20 years, and he had to have been so frustrated and embarrassed with, because he, like you said, he was 26 years old, and, you know, no telling who he was surrounding himself with from an advice standpoint, and picking all the wrong people, right?
I mean, they hired an astronaut.
Yeah, you go through, you know, Gordon as the astronaut, as the GM. And then you look at the coaches, there was nobody, you know, from J.D. North to Tom Fears to, you know, just that whole laundry list of people. There was nobody there that had a record of doing anything. Then they finally brought Stram in. And I can remember thinking about Stram that this was going to be the beginning. And, you know, obviously he and Meekum didn't get along. And I forget who the GM was with Stram.
Well, Stram,
but he lasted, what, 2 years?
It
wasn't very long.
Stram had two problems. One, his drafts weren't very good, and that's back in the '70s. Like, that's how you had to build your team. Like, building a team, building a team, you did it through the draft. He had multiple problems. One, Meekum wasn't patient enough. Like in the '70s, man, even the Steelers, like it took 2, 3, 4 years unless you had like a 2017 Saints draft. It took 2, 3, 4 years to get your team where you needed it to be, because you didn't have free agency, man. The draft was it. And so Meekum didn't have patience, so that hurt Stram. Archie was hurt a ton of the time under Stram, so he didn't have Archie to be his quarterback. And two, his drafts weren't good enough. And those three things conspired against him. Also, he burned through Meekum's money like crazy.
Yeah.
Which Meekum,
well,
of course,
he was the classic guy that had an unlimited budget and overspent it. I mean, he was.
He was. But I mean. So Rick Middleton was your choice, and he encapsulated everything bad in the '70s. But you picked him, but did you really thought when you were young, like, you thought he was going to be something good when they?
When they picked him, you know, I had to do some research, and you know, back then it was harder to do research, but I expected them to pick Randy Gradishaw because we always needed linebackers, and he was the obvious choice. And then when they picked Middleton, I was shocked, but I said, you know, unfortunately, I thought these guys must know what they were doing. And obviously that wasn't the case. And that was the beginning, or the continuing saga of the Saints not knowing what they were doing until we got into the mid-'80s, until we got Mora and Benson and a whole new crew in there to try and right the ship.
Yeah, so my choice for Saints draft pick that I loved that ended up being a dud, because I didn't like when I did it, and I wanted to say you know, not a bust, right, as I drink on this Bud Light. I didn't want to just pick a guy like Jonathan Sullivan and be, he was a bust and this and that. Because I, you know, when they picked like Jonathan Sullivan, I was like, I hope it works out. But I didn't have this like, yes, that's a great pick. When the Saints picked Troy Davis in the third round in 1997, we had the Ditka euphoria, because that was Ditka's first year, right? And he was going to come in and he was going to make the Saints tough, and he's going to run the ball. And yeah, Shuler was probably going to be a disaster, but we talked ourselves into that being okay. But when he picked Troy Davis, I was like, yes, that dude at Iowa State was awesome. Iowa State was terrible. They gave him the ball 400 times a year. It didn't matter. He was great, and he's going to
He gained like 2,000 yards a year for two straight years. It just seemed like he had to be great.
Yeah, like his 95 for Iowa State, he had 345 attempts. He ran for 2,000 yards, averaged 5.8 a carry. In 96, he ran for 2,185 yards, averaged 5.4, scored 21 touchdowns. And so, like, he had a ton of carries, but he averaged 5 yards a carry, and it was a legit, you know, it wasn't like he was from some tiny school. I mean, Iowa State, they always struggle in football, but you know, the Big Eight and the Big Ten and the Big 12, what it was back then. I mean, that was a legit conference, right? So I was excited for him, and with the Saints, he was so terrible. Like, he was like, you know what,
so
he's
why
like?
Why was he terrible? Why was he terrible?
He, you know what he's like? He was like Darren Sproles if you took away all Darren Sproles' quickness and burst. That's what Troy Davis was. He was small, but he was also slow. And I don't know how he got all those yards in college, but, man, when he played with the Saints, he was awful. You know.
Well, I'm looking at his stats with the Saints, and in 97 he had 271 yards. In 98 he had 143, and in 99 he had 32 yards.
He did have one touchdown, though. He did have one touchdown. I mean, and they tried to make him the guy in 97, man. He started seven games. He got a, you know, he had, you know, a bunch of carries. Like, they tried to make him the guy. Like, it wasn't like he never really got, you know, you can't say, oh, he didn't really get a chance. They had other guys. It just didn't work out. He got hurt. No. Ditka was like, that's my guy. Corey Davis is my guy. And he was terrible. And I love, like, he was so funny. Look, because the thing is, like, small dudes at receiver or running back are just more fun, Jim, right? You know, because I don't know if we bond to them because, you know, they're normal-sized humans. So normal-sized humans like me and you that root for our NFL team, we bond. They seem more relatable, so we bond with them in a different sort of way. But I don't know, like, undersized players, we root for them harder. And I just thought, man, Troy Davis was going to be the shit. And he just was not. And that's the thing, man. That's the thing on Twitter, Jim, that bothers me. People do not admit their draft day flaw. All these people, that these wannabe draft analysts and real draft analysts, they never admit their flaws and their misses. I'm telling you, I thought Troy Davis was going to be amazing, and he was terrible.
Well, he actually – maybe you should be a draft analyst for the Canadian Football League, Ralph, because he actually did really well in the Canadian Football League.
How?
I mean, he had like four 1,000 yard years,
wow,
in the Canadian Football League, for what that's worth, but he did. So maybe he was just a late bloomer.
Well, they only have three downs in Canada. They only have three downs in Canada, and I'm not gonna make any political statements. But when you only have three downs, that's like practically socialism. Say it. You know, you can get a punt when you miss a field goal. You can get a point when you miss a field goal. Like, that's just weird. But no, I did not know that he went on to thrive in the North.
Well, that's why I'm here, Ralph, is to help you out. Okay. Kevin's not here, Dave's not here, so Andrew's not here, so I'm here to help you out.
Thank you, Jim. So this was a great episode, because the thing is, to me, Jim, and I say this because I believe our Saints podcast is the most fun one, but I always like analysts and whoever, I find them more relatable if they can say, I got this wrong, I got that wrong, oh, I was, you know, because we know that the draft is this random nonsense of, it's 50-50 at best if you know what you're doing. So all these people that pretend that they don't make mistakes, it just drives me bananas.
Well, yeah, maybe one time we ought to do a political podcast, and then we can talk about some of that shit.
I'm thinking, you know, people, if you get us up to $1,200 a month patron pledges, I'm gonna do a Twitter friends podcast where I just find interesting people on Twitter and we talk about the Saints, and it leads into different topics, and I have a list of about 20 people. So we're halfway there. So donate. You don't have to donate at the $25 level, but just donate at the $3 level. Get yourself a koozie and help us get there. We'll do fun stuff. So this podcast, this episode of Drunk Saints History has been amazing, guys. I hope you liked it. Jim, thanks for being such a generous patron. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next time on Saints Drunk History.
Take care,
Thanks
Ralph.
Thanks to all of our
it.
Saints Happy Hour listeners whose donations make Drunk Saints history possible. Until next time, remember, surviving Saints history is hard. That's why God made alcohol.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.